Good to see each of you this morning. I'm very happy to be here. We are certainly, excited as we are starting a kind of a new venture, if you say, with some of the local congregations in this area, and on Fifth Sunday having speakers from one congregation go to another and speak there, and then, you know, vice versa, and just kind of do a little rotation like that of who would be willing to do that. So we're excited about that, because that is certainly something that would benefit each congregation, and also it would bring the congregations together in the bond of unity and love that Christ commands us to have. And so that is a good thing, and I do hope that for the other two that are speaking in the other congregations, that they have a good worship this morning, and I hope that as we continue, we will continue to have a good worship this morning. But I appreciate the opportunity to speak for y'all this morning, and hope that what I have prepared will be beneficial to all of us. I believe it will. I don't know as far as many of you here, if you do much gardening or anything, if you have gardens at your house or anything like that, or perhaps if you've recently been had to put in a new mailbox or dig any kind of holes to put a fence post in or anything like that. I don't know if you've noticed, this year we've gotten a fair amount of rain, and it's been a little easier to dig into the earth. Whereas if we were in a year or either an area of the country that it was a drought, it's really hard to get down through the dirt, and it makes digging a lot harder. I know for me, my dad grows a big garden, and so I help him punch holes for his bean sticks. And that first few punches is a little hard, and as you get deeper in there, it gets a little easier because you start getting down into the moist ground. And, that is until you go to the next hole, and then that's kind of difficult there to do that. But when you're in drought conditions and are areas of the country that doesn't have as much rain, have you ever noticed the trees or the plants, which one seems to survive best and the ones that are affected the most? Well, if you observe this thing, we can see that a tree is better able to survive long periods of time without rain than any of the other types of plants. And the reason why is that most trees, their roots go very deep. They go deep down into the ground where that moisture is, and especially if you have trees next to, say a riverbank, creek bank, or something like that, they grow very well because they get that moisture, and their roots go down deep, and so they have those strong roots to do that, to get down in that water. And whereas another type of weed or a plant, their roots may only be on the surface, and it doesn't go that deep. But when we look at these things like that, these observations, I've not started a presentation or anything about dealing with soil moisture content or anything like that. It's just if we look at these things in nature, we can gain an example for us and in our Christian life, because what that tells us is that depending on the type of roots that we have, that depends on how well we survive. And so that's what we're going to look at in our lives this morning. How are our surface conditions in our lives right now? Perhaps they may be hard surface conditions. We may be going through some drought of some type in our lives. Maybe we're facing some type of a sickness. Maybe we're facing some type of a loss, perhaps of either a job or perhaps even worse, someone that is very close to us and that has passed on. Maybe we're facing some types of loneliness, perhaps doubts or things like that, or unkindness from others. I mean, we all face these things, and it may be something like that that we're facing. And maybe it's like that there's been such a lack of, shall we say, pleasant rain in our lives that we may feel like we're experiencing one of these extended droughts that people have at times in certain parts of the nation. If so, if you feel like that, you know, please be aware that just like what you see during a drought in nature, what you can see in your life at the present moment is not the whole reality of it all. The water of life still exists. It's still there, but it's below the surface. And we can reach that water, but only if we have the spiritual roots that are sufficiently deep enough to reach that water. If we look at Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8, Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8, we can take courage from that, and it gives us some guidance. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be disquieted in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." We only appreciate the importance of deep roots when life becomes difficult. But we can't wait until hardship arrives to start growing the roots that we need. You know, when a crisis crashes down upon us, or when we're experiencing those droughts, those extended droughts in our life, you know, it's too late then to make preparation for it. You know, we need to be preparing now for the future. We need to be able to prepare now for any of the droughts that we may face in our lives now, because we never know what tomorrow will bring or what we will have to face. And I'm sure all of you can quote this from memory, but still, let's remind ourselves of what James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says. That's James 4, verses 13 through 14. And it talks about putting too much trust in what tomorrow will bring. Verse 13 of James 4, it says, "Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And we need to be sure of the strength of our faith. You know, positive that our roots are indeed deep, in order to make sure that we can endure the tribulations and the trials and the things that we go through in this world. You know, if our roots are not deep, then we will find ourselves to be like the people that's described in the parable of the sower, if you remember it. And that is given to us there in Matthew chapter 13. Verses 3 through 23. Matthew 13, verse 3 through 23. And of course, it's also in parallel passages in two of the other Gospels, but we won't take time to look at all three of them, and in fact, we won't try to read this whole thing of Matthew 13. But what we'd like to focus on mainly is kind of towards the end of that, of that parable. Verses 20 and 21, it says that Jesus said, "But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and at once with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he loses faith." So if we find ourselves frequently struggling to survive the sufferings that are testing us, we need to look at a few suggestions that I have prepared this morning, and we have to do our best to have these deep roots in the spiritual ground and down into the Word of Christ. The first thing is to be honest about our need for deeper roots. We all need that. In regard to spiritual matters, it's disastrous to pretend that we're stronger than we are. We won't take the steps of spiritual growth that we need to take until we admit we need to take them. You know, real growth requires humility, among other things, and the realization that we as humans are weak, and we are so dependent upon God for all that we have. You know, He is the sustainer of all, and the blesser of all, and He will all give us the things that we need if we rely on Him and look to Him for assistance. Let's look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. And as I was talking about us being humble, that's talking about us, you know, not having the attitude that we can do this ourselves. And we can't. We have to turn to Christ and turn to God, and He will help us. We have to rely on God. But 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." Just having a superficial biblical knowledge and just occasionally coming to church are not enough to give us the strength that we need to get through the rough patches in life. And if there's no more to our relationship with God than this, then, you know, we should not fool ourselves into thinking that we have deep roots, because we simply do not have it. I mean, we have to be well grounded in the Scripture, of course, and we have to have the will and the desire to come and assemble together and to be together. Because as my wife Jill and I were talking this morning, that's one of the purposes that God has for the church, is because we are a family. We are a church family. We view ourselves as maybe a congregational family, but the whole church and the whole world, we're all part of the family of God. And we have that He gives us that to support us also here on earth through these rough patches and in life. And we need to have our roots well grounded in the Word and in our faith and in Christ, and also with each other as we go through the things in life. Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 6. Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 6 says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And then he says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You know, in all we do in life, He must be a part of it. And of course, you know, we must do only those things that He would want to be a part of. And we should never do things that He wouldn't want us to be a part of course. But we should always acknowledge Him and be thankful to Him for what we have in this life and the blessings that He gives us. You know, it gets hard, especially in today with the economy the way it is, and it's being very, very difficult in this area for people to have employment and things to sustain themselves. It gets very difficult, and this is one of those drought periods that I'm talking about in life that you have to face. Another suggestion for us having deep roots is for us to make a commitment to increase our Bible study and our prayer to God. You know, we can hardly expect to enjoy the benefits of spiritual strength if we don't avail ourselves of the means by which that strength is acquired. And what I'm talking about is studying our Bible and praying to God and asking Him for the strength to get through the things in his life. You know, certainly more is involved in growth than reading our Bibles and praying, but we ought not to underestimate the importance of these, because they are very powerful things in our lives. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." 2 Timothy 2 and 15, which most of you can probably quote from memory there, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says for us to pray without ceasing. So we have to have that type of commitment that's taught to us in these scriptures. We need to study. We need to study every day. We need to spend time with the Word of God, and we need to spend time in prayer and in meditation with Him and on His Word. And that will help for us to have deeper roots in this life. We need to also, another suggestion, is to talk to others who have deeper roots and find out why they know, you know, and what they know. You know, most of us are fortunate enough to know at least a few other people whom we would consider to have great spiritual strength and have the faith in God that we should have. You know, for most of us, it may be our grandparents or our parents or perhaps some older person that we know in the church that has always seemed to have a very strong faith and just a will of life to keep going when things happen in life that would seem to knock the knees out of anybody else. And we tend to have at least a few people in our lives that we can learn from. And it's important to learn from these type of people. And usually they're willing to share their experiences and help to show us the process by which they arrive at their present position of having this very strong faith. You know, we waste a great deal when we fail to learn from the wisdom of those who have, as I say, traveled down the road further than we have. Those that are older. You know, a lot of times we don't think that we can learn much from them, but we can. And especially those that are older in the church, I mean, that have faced, you know, countless trials in their lives. I mean, we can learn from those people. Related to this is James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Well, you know, that's, as I mentioned earlier, part of the support of the church. You know, we are to confess our faults one to another. And we are to pray for one another. And when we have struggles in this life, I mean, that's one of the main reasons, you know, not the main reason, but one of the reasons we extend the invitation after each service is you know, we never know what each other is struggling with in this life and what we're facing. And Christ expects us to, when we are facing these things, you know, to ask for help and to ask for prayers. And He also expects the rest of us, you know, to have that love and that understanding and compassion and that caring enough to actually do something and to help these people when they are struggling. So we have to have that, and we have to have that fervent prayer that's talked about for each other when someone does need our prayers in the church. And those that are older can be of so much help to those who are younger, or even the ones that are just younger in the faith. They may be older in age, but they may be younger in the faith. And wherever we are in our walk with Christ, we should be willing to listen and to kindly and compassionately advise those that could learn from us. Because, you know, sometimes you may even learn something from a younger person. You know, they have that little phrase of out of the mouths of babes. You know, sometimes a younger person can can just say something that it makes all the difference to perhaps our way of thinking about a certain thing, and we would have never thought of otherwise. And, you know, as we talked about, that's just all a part of being a member of the church, and so that we have that support system and can be there for each other. Another one of the suggestions for having deeper roots is to trust God, even when it's hard to do and even when you think there's no hope. Nahum 1, verse 7, Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, assures us of the fact that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Psalms 34, verse 32, gives us hope in that the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So if we are his servants, he's going to redeem us. And as it says there, if we trust in him, you know, we will not be desolate. He will not leave us alone. And he will always take care of us. Psalms 138, verses 6 through 7, brings us comfort and it strengthens us. And it gives us this teaching that it says there in verse 6, that though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. So there is so much comfort and strength in that, in those two verses, and knowing that even though God is such a great and powerful and awesome God, you know, and here we are, you know, as the writer says, we're just worms on this earth, basically. He sees us, and he loves us, and he takes care of us, and wants to, and he wants to be there for us. Just remember that Satan always does his hardest at making us doubt God. He knows that if he can get that one seed of doubt planted in us, that it will eventually bring a whole harvest of doubt in our lives. And all he wants to do is just to get his foot in the door. You know, you've heard that expression, but that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get his foot in the door. And you can be absolutely certain that he knows just exactly what to do to cause you to doubt. I mean, he knows that. He knows exactly what to do. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the best way to exploit them and to cause us to become even weaker. And he knows exactly what nerve to press on, as I say, and that will cause us the most pain. He knows the you know what trigger to press to cause us to react. And he will cause things to happen that will remind us of our biggest mistakes, of our greatest embarrassments, of all of our past sins and of the most unfulfilled desires in our hearts. And of course, this will happen just when we think that we've got all that behind us and when we've moved on and all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. Something's going to happen and we're going to, you know, kind of relive through some of that and he's just going to make us feel right. And that causes us to doubt and our faith to become weak. And he knows just exactly what to do. Psalms 56, verses 2 through 4 says, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou most high. In the time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So we have to have that frame of thought that's given to us in those three verses. And Satan likes to try to get us thinking that God doesn't hear us, you know, that God doesn't care, that we just can't make another step. And he does that, you know, and he gets us doubting it, and we get to saying things like, well, God's not listening to my prayers. He doesn't hear what I say. He doesn't care that I'm going through, you know, all this in life. He's not paying attention. You know, and Satan, he'll work on us like that. And I'm sure that, you know, we're not the first people to feel this way. And that's why I'm saying that these older people in the faith, you know, not so much in age, but the older in the faith, stronger in the faith, they can help us through periods when it's like that. And we also know from biblical examples that we're not the first to feel that way, because Elijah, he was one that felt forsaken by the Lord. And I'm sure there's others that I'm, you know, forgetting to remember this morning. But we need to remember the teachings that is given to us in Isaiah chapter 40. That's Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. There it says, "What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint." For some of us, life's major tests, you know, may already be in the past. And for many others, the big test, you know, may still be ahead. Since we don't know the future, none of us knows for sure. You know, whatever we've experienced in the past, that may be nothing compared to what we'll be called upon to endure before our time on this earth is done. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 3 says, "And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou the same to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Endure thou therefore hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In any event, you know, there's no such thing as being too prepared. You know, the Boy Scouts have that motto, to be prepared. That's their motto. And as we as Christians, we should, you know, let that be our motto also. You know, we need to be prepared. To be prepared for all circumstances, good or bad. To be prepared for all times to teach others of Christ and to share the gospel with them. To be prepared to give our all, even down to our very life if we have to further the kingdom of God. You know, for a biblical example, we can look at the Apostle Paul, of course. But let's look at the prophet Ezra. You know, we don't turn to him too much very often. And this is what the Bible says of him in Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So like Ezra, we too need to prepare our hearts to seek after the Lord, to grow in his kingdom, to spread the gospel, and to be ready to face anything that is thrown against us by Satan and all of his minions, because he will. He is going to attack us, especially if we are, you know, trying to live a Christian life. So right now we need to be sinking our roots as deep as we can into the soil of faith and into the soil of obedience. We need to be like the man who built his house upon the rock, and not be like the man who built his house upon the sand. For if we do build it on the sand, so to speak, you know, our lives will suffer the same fate as that house. You can look at Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27 for that parable. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So we cannot afford to not be growing spiritually. We have to be growing spiritually, because if we are not growing, then we are dying. That's just what it is. You know, we can't just, you know, people get in that frame of mind that, well, I'm just going to coast along for a while. And that, you can't do that. It's not possible. Because either you're going forward or either you're going back. There's no just kind of staying there. It's one or the other. So we have to keep pressing on and going forward. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 says, 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things beforehand, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen." It says there, beware lest ye fall. You know, that's a major warning that we need to take heart today. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for the Lord to come back, of course, but also ready for whatever we face in this life. We must grow our roots as deep as possible into the soil of true faith, because at that level of faith, just like in the natural world, in the deep soil, you know, we will find the life-giving water that God provides, that water of life. He provides the life in this earth by giving us physical water for the plants and the animals and for us. And He provides life to those of us in His kingdom by giving spiritual water for us to draw from and to gain life from. So in conclusion this morning, I'd like to leave you with a couple of verses from the Old Testament. Even though they refer to the building of the tabernacle of the Lord, you know, they could easily refer to our lives today. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, 1 Chronicles 28, verses 19 through 20, there it says, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." So today our understanding is given in what the Lord has written in the Bible. So He can make us understand if we study His Word. And then in verse 20, "And David said to Solomon his son," he said, "be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house," or in our case, for the kingdom of the Lord. So I hope that what I've brought this morning is beneficial. I hope that it has encouraged us to make the effort and that commitment to grow our roots into the Lord's Word, into the church, into the faith, and draw strength from that in times of drought in our lives. I mean, we don't know what each person is facing in life. Many people have a lot of hardships that we never, you know, see. We never know about. But, you know, as I said, we in the church, we are there for each other. We're to lean on each other. And if anyone, you know, this morning has the need of the prayers of the church, you know, that they are certainly readily available for that. And you know, it doesn't necessarily even have to be at this period of time each week. I'm sure, you know, Brother Lindell would not care at all if you called him in the middle of the night and said, you know, "Brother Lindell, you know, I need you to pray for me right now. I'm facing something really horrible." And so, you know, that's why we have this invitation, is extend for that. And of course, it's also extended for those that wish to be baptized into God's kingdom and to have their sins forgiven if they found and realized their error and they realized their need to become a child of God. So at this moment, we extend the invitation. So if any of that applies to anyone here, please come while we stand and sing.